Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I am today, as we're recording, filled with a sense of wonder that we now live in a world in which Roberto Firmino and referee Michael Oliver had the same haircut.
I know. It was actually hard to spot him on the field. I normally the haircut really gives him away, but now I had to track the 11 on the field the whole match.
Yeah, so I mean the important bit there is that Roberto Firmino's samurai top knot is gone, and yeah, you can't spot him on the field. But did you not notice Michael Oliver has the Vanilla Ice lines shaved into the side of his head?
I don't know what is going on with Oliver. He's a strange guy. We should have him on the podcast, actually. I bet he's a fantasy Premier League manager himself.
I'm sure he'd love to. I mean, I think the line shaved into his head aside, he's one of the more normal looking referees.
Yeah, he is. I mean, Martin Atkinson is like kind of a poser. Like he wants to look cool, but it kind of backfires. You know, there's like it's got too much gel in his hair. It's not working for him.
Yeah, Clattenburg is obviously just like a psychopath.
Yeah, totally. So Brandon, enough bants, right? Okay, we had our fun. We shared a joke.
Yeah, we did. We're sort of kicking the rest off because, as all of our faithful listeners know, we took the week off last week. We had a bye week.
Yeah, and it was, you know, part. It was to be honest, it was really. And I said this on Twitter and elsewhere. A few people actually sent us really nice messages, and even there was a really nice thread on Reddit even about us not doing a podcast this week, which was really flattering.
It makes me feel good that if I were to go missing just in life, that maybe one person might start ask a question.
It proves like how low my self esteem is that when that happened, I was like, oh, I bet like Brandon set this up. Someone must have set up like a fake account for this because there's no way someone posted about missing the podcast this week.
It was a whole Truman Show-esque ruse for you, Josh.
Yeah, but I moved this week and I was moving with a 10-week-old baby and it was just it's a big move. And moving with the baby, my wife could not accept my reason for, and I'm not blaming her, but I couldn't take a night off from moving apartments to record a podcast this week. So I'm settled in now, even though I'm recording on a chair with the laptop. It's on the bed. And do you know those record, like those frames that you put record players in, like the square frames?
Yes.
Yeah. Like they're like you hang on a wall. I have like a flipped over record frame that I'm putting the microphone and my whiskey on. So that's kind of, working for me right now. Like now, one false move though, and everything's going to come toppling over.
As a big football fan, and in America, we get up in the morning, a Saturday or Sunday, and it's an early morning activity to watch the games. Very important part of it, as you know, is sort of your den or what you're set up for watching the game. So you're in a new apartment. What was the setup for this game week to watch the games? Is it new? Is it makeshift? Is it in progress?
It's in progress, but it's not bad. I've got the Apple TV, and so I'm able to flip. We've heard from friends in the UK who, you know, they always talk about how much better it is to watch soccer in America because, you know, we can watch literally every match. And so I'm constantly flipping back and forth. Usually I have, you know, the main match on one TV, and then I've got an iPad with another game on, and then I'm tracking like five more games on my phone. And so that's all working.
The internet was NBC's Goal Rush, where there are five simultaneous kickoffs, usually like Saturday afternoon, they're just flashing between all the different grounds, showing
usually like 7 minutes after the goal has scored. I've gotten every detail on the goal on Twitter before they actually show the replay on Goal Rush.
That's how I typically handle it on Twitter, because I want minor spoilers, but not the whole thing. So I do appreciate what the earliest goal tweets generally just say goal and what match you're watching.
Right.
And then I immediately turn off social media because I don't want to know who scored it. I want to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the goal rush comes in and I get to see it actually all come to fruition.
I think this is something – I don't want to go down this road because I could talk about this for like an hour. But I think there's something about being a fantasy Premier League manager in the age of like – mass technology, like, you know, just like instant tech everywhere, is it's actually very hard to actively watch a match. You know, it's hard to even enjoy goals because there's just so much information. You know, I'm watching so many different games at once, and it's like I'm rooting for my players to score, but I'm also rooting for people in head-to-head matches to not do well, and I'm trying to like track the assists, and I'm watching replays, and it's like I'm almost not even watching sports at that point. I'm like managing a portfolio or something. You know, it's like I'm imagining a zero sum game.
I'm imagining you watching these games simultaneously with such epic concentration that you suddenly break through to a telekinetic level and start controlling the action on the field in five different matches at the
same
time.
It's like that movie Gamer. I'm totally plugged in. I'm in the system now. So, Brandon, having this week off, we actually maybe our first ever power lunch together. We went to this kind of it's like one of those New York restaurants that's supposed to look like a bar, but it's actually really fancy and kind of expensive, called the Minetta Tavern. And we had what's possibly New York's best burger. And we talked about the future of the podcast, the Always Cheating Podcast.
We did. And obviously talking about the future of the podcast involves our amazing listeners. And based on the feedback of us taking a week off, we got the sense that you guys kind of missed us, and this might be the perfect opportunity to hit all you guys up for a little bit of cash.
Almost no cash, very little. But
yeah, like a very small amount of cash, and it's not a very cynical thing. It's just Josh and I do this podcast virtually every week during the Premier League season, and we thought, well, how can we take it up to the next level in terms of engaging our listeners and also asking the listeners to help us put on the show that we do every week. So we came up with this page on a site called Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/alwayscheating.
Patreon is P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
We've set up three levels of British Bake Off inspired donation. And for each level, you get something from us, the Always Cheating hosts, in return. You want to talk about those various levels and what's gone into them?
I will. And I wish the listeners could actually see us right now, because both of us are so uncomfortable asking anyone for money that I think we're both sweating profusely as we go through this.
I just took my sweatshirt off.
So basically, we were hoping people will help support the Always Cheating Podcast. And really, we're not looking to – this has never been anything that we designed to make money or anything like that. But it takes up a fair amount of our time, and we love doing it. And I mean, the only reason we really do it is because we love talking to the people who listen to the podcast and sort of like, we don't just do it so that you and I can talk for an hour about the Premier League, although
we
would do that anyway. Yeah. So we have three different levels, and at each level we're offering a different prize. So, or a different, you know, feature or whatever. So there's the opening bake level, and that's $2 a month. And so if you pledge $2 a month, then you get into our second half league, the Always Cheating second half league. And the winner of that second half league will get to be on the podcast as a guest, either at the end of the season or maybe as a preview podcast for next season. We can work it out with the winner. Uh-huh. If you pledge $3 a month, you get to get into the second half league, and you also get into the Always Cheating Survivor Pool. Now, have you ever done a Survivor Pool, Brandon, or a knockout pool, suicide pool, as it's sometimes called?
I haven't. I know they're popular with the NFL here in the States, and you've tried to suck me into an NFL Survivor Pool many times, but I honestly don't know a single thing about the NFL.
Yeah, basically, a Survivor Pool is you have to pick one team a week to not lose. That's it. And but the trick is you can't pick the same team twice. So there's a website that we've set up, and basically you just have to go in there. We'll send you all the registration information, and then every week you just have to pick one team to win. So it's win or tie. Just don't lose.
Right.
So it sounds easy, but it's surprisingly tricky, and there's a lot of strategy involved. And I've always wanted to do one of these for the Premier League. So that is the technical challenge level, and that's $3 a month. And by the way, this isn't like you're not locked into a lifetime payment.
You can cancel at any time. And of course, when the season is over and we take a break during the summer for podcasting, we will also pause all these donations. Yeah. So you're not contributing to Josh and I just sitting in the park, you know, smoking cigarettes or something.
Right, like exactly. And then the final level is the showstopper level, and that's $5 a month, in which case you'll get into the second half league, you'll get into the suicide pool or the knockout pool, and then we'll also send you two Always Cheating pins. So for an extra $2 a month, that's what you get. And I think the way we worked out in our head, it was the cost of the pins and the cost to mail them, especially if they go to the UK, is about what $2 a month is going to be over 4 or 5 months. Yeah. So
this is a full break-even proposition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's it. So it's always patreon.com/alwayscheating, and we'll post links in our Facebook page and Twitter page. Podcast itself is always going to be free. The main league is always going to be free. But we just thought, you know, it's the Christmas season, and you have from now until December 30th, which is the start of Game Week 19, to take advantage of that. So if you have any questions, you can send us an email or call us. We've never done anything like this before. And,
we're kind of thinking of it as our sort of public radio December pledge drive.
Exactly. Yeah. So we don't want to spend every single episode of the podcast trying to get people to sign up for this thing or whatever. It's not really about the money. It's just we want to create some new engagement with our listeners. And we also do, ideally we're not going to be advertising every podcast either. So this is we'll do a little pledge drive now, probably do one before the start of next season, and then you're not going to hear us talk about this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks for listening through that very awkward sales pitch.
Yeah, I'm like on the ground right now. I'm so
I think we can hone it before next week's podcast, Josh. All right, let's get to the FBL stuff. Game week 15 just got over like an hour ago. We're recording even before the auto subs on the FPL game had happened. Gareth McCauley and his wonderful 1 point have yet to come off the bench for me. How'd you do this week?
I did pretty well. I was looking great yesterday. I'm still feeling okay today. I ended up with 58 points, and that's 58 and then minus 4. So I took a 4-point hit, and I captained Eden Hazard instead of Diego Costa, which ended up costing me, I suppose, 5 points in the end, or 4 points maybe. I'm not sure how that math works.
And you were saying this was just a case of overthinking?
I feel like it was. Yeah, I feel like there was no real reason for me not to captain the guy who's been scoring every single game week. I mean, Eden Hazard is, he's had double figure returns at home, I think, already 3 times this season. He scored a goal at the end of the Man City game. And so I was like, well, sometimes he's like a bit of a form player, when he's on form, I thought the potential for explosive returns with Hazard were there. I think that Diego Costa.
You feel like Chelsea's due for a penalty too one of these days. It's been ages since one's been called, and Hazard, that is another thing that's very appealing about him.
And Costa is very much in that like 6 point to 13 point range typically. And so it felt like a little bit of a risk. And I just thought, I'm just going to go for it. And the most points that Costa has actually scored in a game week is 12, which he's done 3 times this year. But Eden Hazard already has 19 point game week, a 14 point game week, an 11 and a 10. So it felt like a little bit of a risk. It didn't cost me too much because I had Gylfi Sigurdsson. I still had, Costa on my team. I somehow picked up an assist and 2 bonus points from Simon Francis on Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that Jordi Amat.
I am not amused by this.
And the Jordi Amat clean sheet too. So, and I beat you in our head-to-head by 1 point, 58-7.
It was a miracle that I had caught up to you on Sunday to even bring it to within 1 point, because I had Mustafi and Britos. I went big on Watford in this game week, and I started Britos and Kapu. And I don't know if you watched in this game, but there was a play in which Kapu took a dead ball and Britos was wide open at the far post, and
humongous. It didn't it bounce off the ground and then just over the net or something like that?
Well, it bounced off the ground, and I think it's debatable whether it was then going on target, but Stecklenburg got a hand to it, and it was a save that was put out for a corner. So it may have been going on frame into the goal. Had that happened, I think my fortunes would have been turned. But going into Sunday, I had virtually 0 points apart from Walcott and Ozil.
Yeah, and Walcott is turning into one of those players. He almost needs to score two different times in order to pick up any bonus points. Like, I don't know what – I guess it's just the role that he plays. I mean, that guy is just not a bonus point magnet.
And getting substituted most games – he played the full 90 this weekend. So I can't really make my case based on that. But I think part of his bonus point issue is that he rarely plays the full 90.
Yeah, he's an interesting player. I mean, they actually talked about this a little bit on and a rival podcast, the fantasy. Well, I don't know if they're a rival podcast, the Fantasy Football Scout podcast. They're their own world. You know, I feel like they record on like, what is it like? It's like it's like a Google video or whatever. It's like a chat.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a group YouTube thing.
Yeah. So to me, that's a video podcast. We're a sound. We're an audio podcast. Very very different. Okay, worlds. Yeah. Anyway, so I don't mean to steal their idea here, but you know, when you look at Walcott, it's hard. I guess it's impossible really not to compare him with Alexis Sanchez, but you know, viewed in the abstract, I mean, Walcott, especially at his $7.5 million starting price, is still offering a lot of value. I mean, I'm still planning to keep him. I mean, the fixtures are still, I mean, you know, so it's Everton away and Man City away in game weeks 16 and 17, which are less than ideal. But after that, they have West Brom, Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, Swansea, Burnley, and Watford all back to back.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, he might not start every single one of those matches, but you know, nor will Alexis Sanchez, right? I mean, Wenger's already said he's going to try to give Sanchez some kind of winter break. So yeah. I don't know if that means
it's what
my guess would. I wonder if it'll be like he'll get the third off and then the first, the FA Cup match, you know, the one on the 10th or whatever. And so that would be like a little 2 week break.
I feel like with Alexis, these substitutions always tend to be less sort of team breaking than you think they're going to be at first.
Yeah.
It's strange to me, though, that Mesut Ozil is the Iron Man on Arsenal. Like, he plays 90 minutes every game, whether it's midweek, weekend. You know, he always runs in, gets stick for his languid body language and sort of carefree attitude. But that guy is fit. I mean, physically fit. I know that means something else if you live in London.
It reminds me of there's a guy named Chris Carter who was a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, and he sort of got all this flack during his career because he would always run out of bounds. Like, he was not, you know, he wouldn't stay in there and take the hit and like gain an extra yard. You know, he would always kind of like, you know, tiptoe out and like run out of bounds right before the hit came.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were supposed to, the idea was that he was kind of wimpy, you know, as a result of this. But yeah, he ended up playing for like 18 years. And, you know, he's still a commentator on TV. As far as I can tell, he still has a functioning brain. You know, I mean, there's something to be said for being like on the margins, for not being, I mean, Alexis Sanchez gets a muscle injury like every single year.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, it doesn't stop playing.
Fuel efficiency, I guess it is.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that, Ozil, I mean, you've got to love Ozil.
There was just a split second where I thought I would burn points to bring Sanchez in for Ozil this game week, but I resisted. And that, I guess I have Charlie Austin to thank for that, because him now being out now for 3 to 4 months, needing shoulder surgery, that was, both of us had to solve that problem going into game week 15.
No, that was such a shame. They played with fire. They hadn't played him in any of those Europa League matches. And, you know, I mean, this is why you don't prioritize the Europa League.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody gets it unless you play in the Portuguese league, where the Europa League is really the only.
Right. Okay,
so I bet the Portuguese league has a Patreon page, and like there is a level of donation for entering the Europa League.
There probably is. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I ended up captaining Costa, which really helped me. And Sadio Mane. This is something we can talk about. So for you and me, it was Mane versus Firmino. One thing we discussed at our power lunch at Minetta Tavern over that dry aged beef was when I went for Mane, it was a case of argument of, are you playing the game the right way or the wrong way? The easy decision would be to bring in cheaper, more valuable Coutinho or Firmino. It just so happens that Mane just came good in the last 3 weeks. But watching this Liverpool-West Ham match is really striking to me how much Firmino has been pulled out of the action with Coutinho's absence. And I don't know what we're meant to make of Liverpool right now going into December and all these Christmas fixtures, where Mane is going to be leaving soon for the African Cup of Nations, Coutinho still out for some time, and then there's Firmino, who's looking less and less a prospect.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the move that I would consider making right now, because I still don't have Alexis Sanchez, which is completely terrifying. I mean, even knowing that he's going to get some kind of winter break in the next couple of weeks, the move I would make would be to downgrade for, I don't want to go without any attacking coverage on Liverpool. It just seems too dangerous. I think that what the move to me would be to go from Firmino to Lallana and then take that money to upgrade Hazard to Alexis Sanchez.
Right.
I mean, that seems like a pretty simple move all around. I don't know that I need, I don't think I would do that this upcoming game week. But I think that that's a move I might make in like two game weeks.
Sure, when rotation seems a little bit more sort of solid and predictable with Arsenal, and they get beyond the Everton and Man City fixtures. I mean, not that Everton's going to put up a huge fight.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get to we're going to get to the next two game weeks in a minute here. But I think that those are two difficult fixtures. I mean, Everton is not exactly setting the world on fire right now, but they're also not a team that tends to they conceded like five away at Chelsea, but at home they are a little bit better. So I wouldn't expect more than, I don't know, maybe two goals from Arsenal in that match.
Yeah. All right. So the big talking point for us was, who did we bring in for Charlie Austin? We both burned 4 points to replace him. And you won out in this trade. I brought in Iheanacho, and it was a risky move. I don't know if it's going to pay off long term.
Yeah, I considered four different players. I considered Benteke, Iheanacho, Origi, and Defoe. Those are the four that kind of seemed like the best four options to me. I'm not really a believer in Anachibe. I mean, I understand the appeal of him for that five man midfield, but to me, he's not even a rotation player. He's just he is a player that I would stick on the end of the bench if I brought him in.
I nearly told you I would never speak to you again when you told me you were thinking of Llorente at one point.
Oh yeah, well, Llorente to me was another option. I just don't know that I want double Swansea coverage. I certainly live to regret it after his double. So I ended up bringing in Benteke. I talked myself out of Iheanacho for reasons that, you know, for what was ultimately the right reasoning, which is that you just never know with the Pep squad when anyone who's not Sergio Aguero is safe, you know, maybe Kevin De Bruyne. What happened was a little, I mean, once he started the match, I was surprised they brought him off in the 57th minute. Maybe not just given how much they were getting destroyed by Leicester. But that was kind of cool, by the way. We're not really, I don't think we're
going to talk about them too much in the podcast.
Yeah, that was awesome. Just from because no one even owns their players anymore. So yeah. there's no fantasy. No one has Jamie Vardy at this point.
people rightly were saying it was just a throwback to the Cavalier or Buccaneering. I'm not sure what the right adjective is. Leicester of last season. But the guy who gets shortchanged there is Slimani, who was terrific the hold-up play and setting up two of those goals. And
he's what a great player.
Yeah, for sure. Another guy that they're going to lose shortly. I don't know what that team is going to look like. I mean, if they pick up any momentum from that result over this weekend, now they're about to lose Mahrez and Slimani to the African Cup of Nations. That could be really devastating.
I know, and I think on next week's podcast we're going to have to do a real deep dive into the African Cup of Nations, because there's some pretty serious, as some people have already started to talk about on Twitter and certain websites, there's just a lot of fantasy stuff to be aware of. And obviously you have Sadio Mane, he's a player who's going to be leaving, and lots of others too. So that'll be to come.
Yeah, so the reason we're recording so quickly after the Liverpool-West Ham match is because game week 16 is going to be upon us in about 48 hours now. So we need to get this out as quickly as possible. Because of that, we do not have an updated Hail Cheaters Super League table, but we'll post that to social media just to make sure the top 10 get its due. However, we received a Facebook message from Rolf Valsted-Sund, who wanted us to give a little due to the people at the bottom of the Hail Cheaters Super League table. He says, "You always talk about the top 10, like that's worth a medal. What about us bottom lurchers? Bottom 10 list, and please, without sarcastic remarks. Regard from near 1,282, the Gutta Boys." So, Rolf, I guess this is your due, and for all your friends down there at the bottom, we may have to devote a special podcast coming up just to analyze the teams of all the people that are there in the top 1,500.
Get to know a Gutta Boy. That can be the feature.
Any meltdowns this week?
We have one from Blake Henderson who says, you know, it's a bad week when Amat is your highest scoring player.
This is really brutal for me to read because I buried Amat behind McCauley on my bench.
Yeah, what was the reasoning there? Just that McCauley could score a headed goal or something?
Yeah, so both it would be damage limitation. I mean, Swansea in the last 2 weeks have given up 4 goals and 5 goals. And so even though Swansea is playing Sunderland, who are terrible, a lot of people have faith in Defoe. That guy's clinical. You expect at least one goal to go in. And if West Brom concedes against Chelsea, I would have more faith that McCauley could still come out of that with 1 or 2 points.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, in hindsight, I don't really know what I was thinking. Well, okay. I mean, a lot of us thought the same way, but I mean, West Brom is not a team that's going to give up 3 or 4 goals very often. And the fact that all of us were looking to that West Brom fixture as a place for serious goals was, you know, it was kind of foolish in hindsight.
I mean, if you played Amat and got 6 points, you should actually be upset. I don't know if you saw the play. I think it was Sigurdsson dead ball, and Amat almost put it right into the corner off his head.
Yeah, I heard about it. I'm glad I didn't see it because I would have lost it. But I was actually watching the Hull match because I was convinced that Benteke was going to come good. He scored a penalty, so I was happy about that. I mean, I got my money back from the Burn transfer. I know that his fixtures get a little worse from here, but I thought that Hull fixture was so appealing that I couldn't resist. I felt like it was one of the only fixtures where I could almost ensure that I was going to get my money back. You know, that I wouldn't lose any points from from burning four. And I think that, you know, they're home to Man U in the next fixture, and that's not a great fixture, but it's not terrible either. I mean, I could absolutely see them, you know, Benteke scoring a goal at home. And that's, you know, Crystal Palace is not very good and their defense is awful, but they do score a lot of goals.
That they do. Zaha, my God, he looked
so underrated. I mean, right, yeah, Firmino to, okay, so like in 2 weeks, the Crystal Palace team has like a major turnaround in terms of their fixtures. They had kind of like an up and down run the last 10 weeks or so, some good, some bad. Okay, so let me pull it up here. So if I can weather the storm with Benteke, okay, or if you want to bring in Zaha, it's really around game week 18 that you want to start looking at them. Game week 18, you have Watford away, then you have Arsenal away, and then you have Swansea, West Ham, Everton, Bournemouth, Sunderland, Stoke, Middlesbrough, and West Brom.
Yeah, it's a good run. So
it's great run. It's all ones and twos.
By that point, they will have shed Pardew as well. Ranking.
Exactly. No Pardew. Hopefully they don't bring in a defensive manager. They bring in I want, like, who would be a good manager for that squad? Maybe like,
I mean, Allardyce?
Redknapp. Maybe? Yeah, Allardyce. I wouldn't want Allardyce on that team, though. He would take all the joy out of that team.
I'll tell you who'd be a great manager for that team. American Bob Bradley, who's doing a real great job there at Swansea City. Right.
Yeah, go Bradley. I don't know if Pardew's going to survive or not. I mean, that defense is just awful.
What I want to say about Zaha is this is like a very eye testy thing. But when he celebrated that goal, he like almost exploded. He went like totally Super Saiyan, and you could tell how on fire he is and how motivated he is just by the way he celebrated that goal.
Yeah, you know, Zaha is kind of a late bloomer. You know, he was with Crystal Palace, and then he actually signed with Man United in 2013, went back on loan with Crystal Palace for a year. And then, do you remember this? He went on loan with Cardiff City for a season in 2014. It's that 1 year that Cardiff City were in the Premier League. Went back to Crystal Palace on loan again, and then has been full time back, signed with Crystal Palace, I think for like $5 million or something, in 2015, and completely turned his life. You know, his career is like, yeah, maybe his life too. Who knows, Brandon? What's going on in there.
You sent me into a complete reverie there when you asked me if I remembered Cardiff City. My mind started to wander. It went to some very strange places, I'll tell you that much.
David Marshall, that's all I remember.
Their owner, I forget his name, the Bond villain who always wore his jersey over his business shirt.
And even though the mascot is the Bluebird, they had to change to an all-red kit.
Lucky red.
That's right. All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break, and then let's get right back into we're going to try to signpost this, that if you listen to the podcast on Monday or Tuesday, you can get the Game Week 16 preview. If you want to listen, or you want to come back, or you miss it the first couple of days it's out, you can come in at, like, you know, whatever it is, the 42-minute mark, and we'll talk about Game Week 17. So it'll be a nice, clean split between the 2 weeks. Was I clear?
That was very clear.
Yeah, thank you. It felt complicated in my head. I was like trying to force the words out there a little bit.
Check the show notes. I'll post exactly what times the previews for each game week start.
All right, good. All right, let's do this. Same old podcast,
always cheating. Okay, just to kick off the discussion as we preview game week 16, we got a question from Jeremiah Johnson on our Facebook page. He asked, least likely to be rotated attacking players with good fixtures in game week 16 and 17. So we'll try to address Jeremiah's question as we go through the fixtures coming up of which marquee players we think are at risk of being rotated, which we think will probably most definitely play both games, et cetera, et cetera. So on to game week 16.
All right, Brandon, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about each. We're just going to go fixture by fixture. We're not going to – some fixtures may even skip over if we don't think they're really worth talking about. Others we might go into, talk about rotation a little bit, talk about some captain options and so on.
All right, Josh, I'm saying we each get for these two game weeks, we get three passes total. Actually, each. No, two passes each.
Two passes each. Okay, that sounds
okay. So I'm going to keep score. I'm going to keep score here on a piece of paper. and just remember, you have two matches that you can pass, and I have to obey that you want to pass that fixture, vice versa.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so we have two fixtures on Tuesday, December 13th, the year of our Lord, 2016. The first fixture is Bournemouth hosting Leicester. Now, this is a fixture that felt a little bit differently before this game week, before Leicester came back a little bit. I mean, are you at all enticed by Leicester attacking options? Let's put aside the defense for a moment.
Like I said, Slimani is really a fun one to root for there. I mean, Jamie Vardy scoring a hat trick, it's like old times. And we all know once he gets started scoring, he will go for 11 weeks without not scoring.
That's right.
So, I mean, either of those, if you're looking to fill that sort of Charlie Austin size hole. Now, I know Jamie Vardy is considerably more expensive these days given his exploits last season, but. I mean, Mahrez actually might be the one for me if you're looking to take a short-term punt, because they have been getting penalties, and the way Vardy runs forward, he can get tripped up in the penalty box easily.
Yeah. Slimani was somebody I think I was joking with. I can't remember who it was on Twitter. I mean, I did think about Slimani for like 4 seconds. I mean, at this point, I don't think anyone is – no one really talked about Vardy as an Aguero replacement, mostly because they're about to play Man City in game week 14 and it just – or game week 15, excuse me. And
plus,
it's
Vardy
not
hadn't
like,
scored in, what, 16
Yeah,
16
exactly.
Matches.
So, yeah, Vardy hadn't scored in forever, and they were playing Man City. It just was not very appealing, even with Man City's defense, you know, being kind of like Swiss cheese right now. But now, yeah, I think it's really an interesting option. I mean, if you're – it would have been really great if Diego Costa picked up his fifth yellow card. If Costa weren't playing, you know, that would have been fun to move him over. I mean, I guess some people are, you know, what is his price up to now? It's got to be getting close to 11 million. So
he's 10-8 right now.
Yeah. So even when he gets that, that fifth yellow, I mean, you're just going to have to bench him. You can't really, you can't drop Costa at this point, can you?
No, you certainly can't though. Yeah, I would keep Costa. The bubble I'm on right now is I have Ibrahimovic, and Tottenham's upcoming run of fixtures through December into early January, and even after that, look so amazing. Yeah. And so I'm kind of waiting for the right moment to turn Ibra into Harry Kane. If something were to happen to Costa, then maybe I end up with Kane and Ibra.
As a Kaner, I was a little frustrated by this match. I mean, it's not like you expect big returns away to Man United, but I didn't even understand the way he was playing. I mean, it felt like they were playing in kind of a strikerless formation. You had – he and Ali were sort of on the line together. I mean, it didn't feel like he was the focal point of the attack. I mean, everything was going through Christian Eriksen in this match, and it was not the good Eriksen, although I guess he almost scored on a free kick in the first half.
Yeah, De Gea made two good saves on Eriksen. I mean, they were – his free kicks were well placed. They didn't have a whole lot of venom on them.
Yeah,
but still, he did look rather likely. I don't know. We were talking about this before we started recording. Spurs just looked like they didn't want to be there, while Manchester United was the team that flew to Russia or Timbuktu or wherever they went on Thursday for the Europa League, and they looked as fresh as they've looked in months.
it was really I don't really understand why Spurs look so poor in this match. I mean, especially after absolutely annihilating Swansea, and they had kind of a meaningless midweek Champions League fixture too. It doesn't really, it doesn't really make any sense. But
in classic always cheating fashion, we've gone from Bournemouth Leicester to the form of Tottenham Hotspur. Okay, so my prediction, I'm really excited for this Bournemouth-Leicester game. I don't know that I'm excited to have any assets in this squad, because I think it's going to be a hard-fought, really exciting game, and anyone's guess.
I think so, too. I mean, Simon Francis may end up starting for me still. I think that he's been looking pretty dangerous, actually. He's a little wily, you know. I've got a couple assists from Francis.
Sure, and, yeah, a lot of the play goes through him out there on the right wing, and he also is one of my favorite part of my group of starting 11 that play with their shirt tucked in.
That's right, exactly. Like all good captains should. So I will predict I'm actually going to predict a Leicester to revert back to their previous form, and I will predict a 1-0 Bournemouth win.
Yeah, I'd be on board with that. I mean, Bournemouth is sort of renowned for their home form, with a few minor exceptions, and yeah. I think it's hard to read too much into Leicester. I mean, the Leicester annihilation of City over the weekend, I think, to me, points to larger conversations that one needs to have about Manchester City.
Yeah.
A lot was made in the commentary about how Pep Guardiola apparently never watched a Leicester City game ever last season, which his tactics played right into their counterattacking hands.
I don't understand that. I mean, even if that's true, they're famously, it's not like he didn't know what their style was. It was very strange. They just came out ready to play. I think that Leicester their pride came back a little bit, they remembered that they were the title winners, and it felt like a different squad. I don't know. It was an interesting match.
All right. Next match.
Everton Arsenal, pass. No, I'm just kidding.
This should be an interesting game. One. I mean, Everton is kind of garbage right now, but they do have the tools. I don't think they are going to miss Bolasie that much. I think De La Feu is very well equipped to handle servicing the ball to Lukaku. And Arsenal can swan.
I do worry a little bit about who's going to feed Lukaku the ball. I mean, I know he scored twice, but he scored twice and kind of... I mean, the first goal was a miracle ball from Gareth Barry over like 18 players. Yeah. And the second one was kind of lucky. I mean, I guess he was in the right place
but wide it was open.
It was a scrum that, the play took like, it was like, three hacked missed clearances, and then the ball kind of
Valencia was kind of running around with the ball, and then kind of had to run around the entire 18 to receive it and put it across.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't make me feel like Lukaku was about to go on some epic scoring streak or anything like that. I still have some real concerns about Everton. In fact, I have Nacho Monreal, and I'm planning to start him for even away to Everton in this match.
Yeah, Everton's just catching Arsenal at the wrong time. Arsenal is just so ascendant right now, and that really doesn't mean anything when you talk about Arsenal, because they will flake out any week that you wish that they wouldn't. But
What do you think about Alexis Sanchez as a captain option this game week?
I mean, I think it's viable. The whole home away question, like if Arsenal were away to Watford or they were away to Hull City, maybe. But I mean, Everton, they have a great stadium. They have great fans. They have great support. I think it all depends on how the first half looks.
Yeah. I mean, given that Chelsea plays Sunderland, Man City plays Watford, Spurs play Hull, I think that this is not the week to, I don't blame you if you captain Sanchez. I mean, given the form that he's on and given that he's capable of scoring a brace in every match that he plays, it's not, I would never say that he's kind of like Aguero, I mean, especially this season, playing as a striker now. But I don't think that he's the best option this game.
This
I think
is just
he's like the fourth best option.
Yeah, it's one of these that's just difficult to put money on to predict.
Yep, I agree.
All right, moving on to Wednesday. What do we have?
All right, Middlesbrough Liverpool. Liverpool, man. This is what, 5 points they've dropped in the last two game weeks. I mean, that Bournemouth game they never should have lost. Really should win at home to West Ham. Really disappointing. I mean, that Lars Karras is really just a. I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, I think he's got the nerves. You know, like he's got a nerve issue or something. I mean, I don't mean like an actual physical. Although maybe he does.
A poor guy. We should start a Patreon for Karius.
Spinal fusion surgery. No, I think he's anxious.
Some sort of like a robotic exoskeleton to help him move.
Goalkeepers definitely have runs of bad form. I'm saying with no scientific evidence to back me up here.
Joe Hart is a great example of that. Sure. Like everyone is sort of like, he's a great keeper, but you could point to multiple seasons in which he had, you know, month long terrible form.
So I think that, Liverpool, I mean, I have to get rid of Karius. I mean, I should have prefaced all this by saying that I actually am a Lewis Karius owner, which
he says shamefully.
Yeah, what a complete. I could have had Ben Foster 10 weeks ago. It would have been so much better. So I think that Liverpool will defeat Middlesbrough, Middlesbrough.
Yeah. How? We're not sure.
I think that Lallana is definitely the option that I'm looking at now. Firmino is he's just dropping back so far. For whatever reason, he just doesn't link up with the squad. I mean, maybe it's because he's playing in more of Coutinho's role. I thought that would help him, but he's not really feeding. I mean, there were a ton of terrible crosses from kind of everybody in that squad in the match today. And he's not leading the attack. He's really tentative around goal. He's not really – doesn't feel like he's making the most of his opportunities.
He's missing his Brazilian security blanket with Philippe Coutinho. I think he really does. And I think Mane is – he's trying to play out of his mind. He wants to do everything when he gets the ball, and he's playing really well for the team. I wonder if part of that is he doesn't want to. He wants to be missed when he leaves for AECON.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Also, he's probably just taking advantage of the fact that their biggest playmaker Coutinho is out right now. So I would say that where does Mane rank in that top five captaincy options? Middlesbrough.
Yeah, defenses. Yeah. I think he's a good option, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he scores. I mean, his away splits have not been great this year, although he did score last week away. So in the Bournemouth match. So I think that I wouldn't be surprised if he's involved in the goals in this game. But you don't really know where they're coming from right now with Liverpool, and it was so much easier when Coutinho was there. Damn you, Coutinho!
It was so fun. Liverpool was going to walk the league at that point, and now they're immediately in a battle to stay in the top four.
I know it's so I'll predict a 3-2 Liverpool win in this match.
I'll go 2-1, actually, a comfortable 2-1 win for Liverpool.
Okay, maybe a late goal conceded on a maybe a curious own goal or something like that.
No, Negredo scorpion kick, what other way?
All right, here we come to one of the big fixtures this game week. Chelsea away to Sunderland. Sunderland, who just after seeming to have I felt like they righted the ship a little bit, and now it feels like they're right back to where they were before. Does not look very promising for Sunderland all of a sudden once again.
As evidenced by my burying Amat last place in my bench, I really thought Sunderland was going to put up more of a fight against Swansea, and David Moyes has got to be pretty worried.
I think they're missing Duncan Watmore, college boy.
They need somebody with a college education out on that field. I am scrambling for Chelsea assets going into this game. My transfer going into game week 16 is definitely going to be a Chelsea defender. Which one? I'm not entirely sure yet. The Chelsea defense is kind of funny to me in that they all offer their own special superpower. David Luiz is on set pieces. Marcus Alonso is actually a winger. Dave Azpilicueta is a bonus point magnet. He got three on the weekend. And then Gary Cahill is just a hilarious person. And who wouldn't want to have him on your team?
Yeah. I mean, Alonso to me is so far and away the option. I can't believe you're even looking anywhere else. I mean, I know that Azpilicueta just picked up three bonus points, but I think that Alonso is definitely the best option there.
Yeah, the story is written. After seeing that Mustafi was going to be out for a few weeks, if not months, it looks like at this point. He was immediately out for Alonso. So I'm already
Might be out for months. Is that right? God, that's awful. I thought it was just a hamstring.
Well, I think Wenger was, as he's wont to do with his players getting injured, is being pretty cagey about it.
Right, right. Okay.
But he's currently listed at 25% on the site.
So predictions for this game, I'm going to go with a big score here. I'm going to go 4-1 Chelsea.
Chelsea clean sheet all the way. with my man, Marcus Alonso, leading the charge.
Alonso, are you predicting a Alonso hat trick?
I am predicting a Sanchez level explosion. It's a hat trick plus an assist for Alonso. Somehow, Aspilicueta is going to get all three bonus points, though.
Simon Francis level bonus point pickup.
Yep. But no, I do think Chelsea's going to wipe the floor with Sunderland.
West Ham Burnley.
Very, very tempted to pass on this one, Josh.
I thought you might be, but I do want to talk briefly about Dimitri Payet. I think that he is really an interesting. Now that this team seems to be clicking a little bit more, it seems like
they do.
I mean that. First of all, everything about that free kick goal was ludicrous. I mean, the foul by Lallana was absolutely insane. Uh-huh. Like it was, I don't know what he was thinking. It was insane. It was like Dimitri Payet's favorite spot. And then the free kick wasn't even that good, but Karius like doesn't know how to dive or something. I don't even know what happened there.
Sure. He went to school with Claudio Bravo. I think they cannot get low. These guys.
But Payet looks good again. I mean, he was leading the charge at the end of the match too, and then he like suddenly remembered he was 30 years old and like couldn't stop running.
Yeah.
Did you see that? It was like a 2-on-2. It was near the end of the match. It was like the 89th or 90th minute of today's game, and then he was just like, screw it, like I can't do it anymore. But anyway, they're home to Burnley. I really like the Payet's chances in this match. I think he's a great differential captain option. I can go that far.
Yeah.
And I am so frustrated with Firmino that there's a temptation to move Firmino into either Dimitri Payet or Christian Eriksen. And I have to decide if I'm going to do that or if I'm going to shore up my defense this game week.
Very interesting. Payet, the curse of the penalty follows Payet for me. And the fact that he never took a penalty last season, even though he's a dead ball specialist, it's got that Mark Noble.
I love Noble though.
I don't dislike Noble either. He has scored a penalty for me in my fantasy team.
That's true.
One season many moons ago. I follow your logic, and I do think West Ham is going to perform in this match. However, I can also guarantee you that the Volkswagen picks up a little steam in this game week. Sam will score.
Good chance of that, I would say. Crystal Palace, Man United. I think that Crystal Palace is going to win this game. Okay, that's my bold prediction for this game week. I think that.
All right, talk me through this as quickly as you can.
I like the way they can score right now. I don't know that I like the way they match up with Man United.
Yeah,
I think those wingers are going to be a little exhausted after a very tough Spurs match on Sunday. I don't think they're going to take them seriously enough, and. I'm going to predict – I think it's going to be high – well, not high scoring because a Man United game is very rarely high scoring. So I'm going to predict a 2-1 Palace victory.
All right. I have to disagree with you. I'm going to pick something in the ballpark of 2-0 United win for a few reasons. You could see the expression on the players' faces, the final whistle when United – beat Spurs. They looked so relieved, and you can see the energy from Jose Mourinho has just been like so unbelievably negative. He was smiling. He felt positive. You can imagine the way that this team will train. They'll probably train well leading into the Palace match. Eric Bailly is back in central defense, and I think he'll be able to. He is among the defenders that could neutralize Christian Benteke.
Here's how confident I am, Brennan. I will bet you $5 that Crystal Palace defeats Man United in this game. I won't even take odds or points. They won't be favored.
All right, the bet is on. The bet is
five,
on.
Five American dollars. It suddenly is the 55 buck cup, Brennan.
Oh my God. Why do I need to bet any more on this stupid game? All right, that's what we had to say about that.
All right.
It's going to be Ibra versus Benteke. You're going to stick with Benteke going into this game week, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, I think that even if I wasn't feeling confident, there's at least a chance that Benteke could just score a penalty or a headed goal off a corner kick or something like that.
Yeah. I can't believe you've forgotten that Crystal Palace concede about 20 goals per game.
Man City Watford. I'm tempted to play my pass card on this one,
but because you don't want to spend 5 minutes talking about why I have Iheanacho in my team and it's all just a big mystery to me.
I'm just depressed. I'm depressed watching Man City. I mean, it's impossible not to admire Pep Guardiola, right? He's just he's very cerebral. He's creative. I like to flatter myself. I'm definitely flattering myself here and think that I would be a manager like him if I were a manager.
I thought for a second that you were going to flatter yourself by saying that you think that Pep Guardiola would like you as a person.
Or looks like me. Exactly. No, I would flatter myself that I would, because I like to play my own way as well as a fantasy manager. I don't like to go with the flow, even when that's the best decision to make. You know, like sometimes you just need to captain Diego Costa at home to West Brom. You don't need to captain Eden Hazard to be like a little more clever or whatever.
Yeah.
And it feels like Pep can't resist trying to be a little clever in every game. You know, I mean, why not play Yaya Toure from the start for one thing? You know, like they seemed a lot better once he came on in the, you know, in the 60th minute. I mean, why he scored two goals just two game weeks ago. I mean, I know he's 31 or whatever, but you know, which is 3 years younger than me.
He is a lumbering mercenary, that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like he never sticks with this rotation. The team does not have any kind of cohesiveness right now. Yeah. I mean, it is insane to concede four goals away to Leicester.
Yeah, I am worried. I'm worried about the rotation of Iheanacho. I could see him getting dropped for this game and saved for game week 17, but I don't know.
The early sub, I think, augurs well for him. I think the fact that he was subbed early, I think, means there's a pretty good chance he'll start this match. Yeah.
All right, let's consider that a qualified pass. So, Josh, okay. You used your one.
Pseudo pass. No, I'm not. No, I want to save mine.
Okay.
I'm saving it. I've got one of the last two I'm going to spend it on. Spurs Hull. Not using it for this one. I'm definitely looking at Christian Eriksen for a transfer. Definitely looking at Harry Kane as my captain choice this game week. I think it's a really tough call between Diego Costa away to Sunderland and Harry Kane home to Hull. Costa is probably the better choice. And I do wonder if eventually Costa – I mean, I know they don't have any European commitments, so there's no reason not to play him all the time. But at some point, you could see Costa coming off the bench, right, and Batshuayi, you know, getting a game. I mean, it doesn't seem
– I don't know. I actually don't see that right now. Hazard gave an interview last game week after Costa had scored again, and – The interviewer asked Hazard, like, what do you think about Costa's playing and his goal scoring record? And Hazard was saying, like, it's all about getting Costa goals. We want him to win the Golden Boot. We want him to be at the top of that table. So I think that they're really thinking about the success of Costa and how that's fueling their own success. I just don't see him being sat for the rest of the season.
Yeah, well, I think that's possible unless he ever gets that fifth yellow card. I saw he was shaking hands with what's his name? Who's the defensive midfielder on West Brom?
Claudio Jaka.
He's shaking hands with Jaka in the middle of the game.
They probably put $5 on neither of them getting yellow cards in that match. I mean, for Jaka, it's even a bigger deal.
I think that Harry Kane is ultimately the best captain choice for this game week because there is such a strong chance of Hull conceded a penalty in this match that I think that he is the best option. And I think it's like a coin flip between maybe it's 51-49 or something like that. Like there's just enough of an edge of a chance of a Kane penalty that I would pick Kane as my captain over Diego Costa.
Well, we're going to get to see this play out in the always cheating office because you'll have captained Kane and I don't have Kane, and I'll have Captain Costa.
It's true. It's going to be a great, great matchup, Brandon, for the ages. I'm such a dork. I took this day off from work. That's how excited I am about these Wednesday fixtures.
I wanted to take this day off, but holiday parties conspired against me, so I couldn't do it.
Stoke, Southampton. You know what? This will be my pass.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you used your pass because I was going to use mine as well. Okay. So you're on one pass and I'm still on two passes.
All right. West Brom, Swansea.
Jeez. Well, okay, so this is an interesting one to talk about. Siggy is obviously an FPL hero at this. I mean, he's always been an FPL hero.
Sure.
But particularly now, he's just doing so well. And Ken Rooney tweeted at me, I think the last podcast we did, I was talking about the cognitive dissonance I have with Sigurdsson at 7.5 playing for the team in last place and everyone treating him like he was Alexis Sanchez. And Ken Rooney tweeted at me like, just pick him up. You won't regret it. You'll thank me later. He's an 8.5 midfielder playing as a 7.5, or he's a 7.5 playing as an 8.5, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. I'm just still terrified of Swansea as a proposition.
Yeah, I'm a little.
And I could see them going into this West Brom team. I mean, West Brom is not a joke this season. They have been jokes in seasons past. But they still look solid defensively, and now they have this added threat of having a real attack.
Yeah, it's very they're not as depressing as they used to be. That's for sure.
True. Yes, it's true.
that's strong praise.
That is strong praise. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so what are you going to predict for this game? I would predict it's going to be probably. I feel like it's going to be uncomfortably close for West Brom, but they will win it at a jogging pace.
Okay, I will predict. I think that it'll be a 1-1 draw. I think that it seems like West Brom have a tendency to concede a late goal, and they're not quite as tight as it. I always said toit like that. Toit? Not quite as toit as they used to be. But I think that they're. They've been a little disappointing sometimes with their late game defending. So I could see a late maybe Siggy to Llorente goal.
Right. All right. So to recap game week 16, clean sheets, captains, and transfers for the always cheaters. I'm picking Chelsea as a clean sheet. Who's your clean sheet pick, Josh?
And my pick is Tottenham.
And captain, I think we're both in agreement here. Yeah. Even though I don't have Harry Kane. I agree he's the best option. I will have to captain Costa because he's who I have.
And my transfer this week, as I've talked about already, I'm probably going to bring in a defender if I don't bring in my beloved Dimitri Payet or maybe Christian Eriksen. You know, I don't know. He's no fun. it's no fun to have him. I've had Christian Eriksen too many times over the years. Yep. It's always stressful.
And this is always the time when you bring Christian Eriksen in, you feel like, oh, his form is finally established. And guess what happens?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And we all know who my transfer is. Marcus Alonso. Welcome to the squad.
I like it. Good move.
All right, Josh, let's take a quick break and we'll be back for game week 17.
Sounds good. We got three passes left too. Same old podcast, always cheating. All right, Brandon, we're back. We're podcasting into the future right now. We're using our podcast crystal ball to predict what's going to happen. We know all the injuries from game week 16. We know who's in form.
Josh, what could go wrong? What could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. So I think given what happened in game week 16, I think we all know how Crystal Palace Chelsea is going to turn out, Brandon.
Yeah. Are we going to bet on this one too?
Yeah.
You're going to stick
with it. We'll see how the other bet goes. Yeah.
It's going to be back-to-back victories for Palace.
It'd be double or nothing. No, I think that Chelsea will defeat Crystal Palace. I do see Crystal Palace. I don't know why I feel so confident. I think Crystal Palace have only been shut out one time this entire season. So I could see them, you know, scoring a goal. They are home for this match. But I'll predict a 3-1 Chelsea win. And I will probably be captaining Diego Costa for this game week.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Palace just have so many attacking options. Zaha, I mean... Puncheon actually had an egregious miss over the weekend, but he's a great creative midfielder. And if they're all, if Benteke, Puncheon, and Zaha, and even Townsend, if they're all clicking, yeah, they're like guaranteed to score a goal against whatever defense. So it's just a matter of that. So I agree with your 3-1 prediction.
All right. Middlesbrough, Swansea.
The burger.
You got a couple passes, Brendan.
I do have a couple passes, and yep. Sorry to all you Ramirez owners, but I'm going to use my pass against Burger Swansea.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Everything we said about Swansea for the West Brom game applies here, too.
Yeah, and the fact that we haven't said anything about Middlesbrough at this point, that holds.
Now, Negredo is not an option as far as I'm— there are way too many good options in that 6 and 7 million range.
Yeah. Call me when George Friend comes back.
Stoke Leicester. Ugh. This is my pass. I'm using my second pass early.
Well,
pass.
Two passes in a row.
I don't know.
Sexy Stoke. They're in a new sort of world for Stoke City.
Honor the pass, Brandon. Honor the pass.
All right, I will honor the pass. Sorry, Slomani. Sorry, Welsh Xavi.
We already talked about all the Leicester stuff. I mean, I don't know that there's anyone you can really afford on that squad anyway. I mean,
it's true.
Yeah, 9-5 for Mahrez. I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right, Sunderland Watford. I get to finally break out my Watford toys for this match. the Britoses and the Capoos of the world.
Although you can't feel good about— I mean, Watford away to Sunderland, I think Sunderland are probably going to score in that match.
Oh, yeah, let's be clear. Like, Watford is like one of the messier mid-table teams, and you don't know who's going to show up.
You got a little unlucky with the Watford thing, because I think that you decided to keep Capoue and Brendan Brito. It's like during this run of where Watford looked pretty good. They had like a 3 or 4 week run where it seemed like everything kind of was clicking for them, and then it was like it all fell apart. It was like almost instantly. It's like, and now they look like such garbage.
Yeah, it's true. So anyway, I have to face myself. I have to look myself in the mirror for that match and fine.
Differential captain choice in this match, though, I would say.
Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah. Although maybe it's that guy on Watford, whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah. The guy who looks like Charlie Murphy.
He was like 240 pounds for one thing. I was amazed that they pulled this 240 pounder out of nowhere and he scored a brace. It was unbelievable.
He briefly played for Fulham.
Oh, he did. Oh, so you know about Akaka.
I mean, this was like in 2010 before we were even playing the FPL game. So
from Football Manager, they know Akaka, but you know, Football Manager is just nothing that's really ever come over to the States. There's no— No one's playing Football Manager over here.
Okay, just an aside, like Okaka it's fascinating that journeyman players like this exist. Okay, so you're Watford and Ighalo is just a train wreck and Deeney can't do it all on his own. You need some sort of rotation, you need somebody to come in and help out. And this guy, Okaka, where does he come from? How old is he? How large is he? And he comes in and he scores this amazing spinning back heel kick because that's just what he does. That's what he's always done.
Yeah.
That's Okaka.
Yeah.
And there are hundreds, thousands of people walking planet Earth who are like Okaka. I'm having a very existential beautiful moment here.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how many minutes he's played. Even this game, he only played 80 minutes. He played 90 the week before. Totally off my radar. 13 the week before that, then one minute. I hadn't played for 10 weeks in a row, and then he played 13 minutes in game week 4. So, yeah, I don't think anyone predicted that. And I'm sure the official fantasy account was like, great news for the 342 managers who triple captained Okaka for this game week.
Hashtag Okaka time.
Some of those managers, by the way, that they pull out, that has to be like someone like with their 32nd account, right? It's like a bunch of bots or something. Because like no one's really captaining some of these crazy players, right? It'd be like Victor Anachibe will score 15 points, and they'll be like, "Congrats to the 242 people
who hit the autofill button on their squad."
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I would predict that those owners hit the autofill button.
Yeah. So Sunderland. Yeah, I think Sunderland win this, and I think it's like a 3-1 win or something like that.
All right. Next up, it's West Ham hosting Hull City.
My boy Pyatt. See, that's the thing. If you bring in Pyatt for game week 16,
you get a real tasty fixture in 17.
I mean, Burnley and Hull back to back is about as tasty as it gets, Brandon.
Yeah, but they play in the worst stadium in the league right now, where their fans just beat each other up.
True.
While the game is happening.
I think that was happening before, but yeah, that's But now it's now they're further away. It's
they can't
no
see they can't see the bubbles as clearly, so they aren't mesmerized by the glinting light. So they just start throwing haymakers at people.
I think this could be a real breakout game for West Ham. I think they'll win like 3-0. Although I the Snodgrass God is always worth a little punt, right? Robert Snodgrass. I think maybe he gets a goal.
Yes.
Maybe it's 3-1. Their defense is terrible.
Snod giveth and taketh away. He scored the penalty, and then of course he just chopped. I can't remember who he chopped down in the box to give Christian Benteke that penalty.
Yeah, that was kind of a makeup call, but you know, because the penalty, the way he earned that penalty in the first half was kind of weak.
Yeah. So I Hull is just the team to watch always and forever the rest of the season, because there will come a point, we all believe, that when Hull just starts totally, utterly breaking down on the field, in the locker room, in all capacity, and you will have to captain whoever is playing Hull. And I think we're still sort of waiting for that to fully come to fruition, Southampton fans.
Yeah, I mean, they battled back to a tough 3-3 draw this weekend. I mean, it's kind of a crazy game. And I mean, they're still fighting, you know. So, I mean, you have to respect, I mean, for a team with this little talent to be even – I mean, you know, they're going down for sure, but they put up a good fight. I mean, this is not Reading in 2013.
All right. West Brom, Man United. Man United is away. Zlatan is I assume he's still walking at this point. It's just incredible how fit this guy is, and he's playing the full 90, insisting on playing on the full 90, but I just don't see him getting rotated for any of these matches.
No, I don't either. This to me is a very difficult game to predict. Maybe it's very similar to the West Brom Chelsea game, and maybe they West Brom just don't have quite enough, even at home, to shut down Man U. And so maybe like a 1-0 Man U win is my prediction.
Yeah, at the time of recording, we really don't know what happened to Mkhitaryan and if he's going to be healthy anytime soon or if he's done real damage to his ankle.
Right, exactly. So we'll see.
They obviously look a lot better with him, but Juan Mata is, you know, he's a good player. I feel like he slots in there. He doesn't drive the ball forward as well as Mkhitaryan clearly does, but
yeah. So it's, you just never know with Mata. I mean, he didn't even make the, I mean, did he even come into this match? I mean, I know he wasn't in the starting lineup, but yeah. No. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe he was saving him for the midweek game or something.
I agree. This one is really tough to call, and I would not be putting the armband on Ibra.
Yeah.
To West Brom.
All right. Sunday fixtures. Bournemouth, Southampton.
So I have a Cedric problem. I brought in Cedric last week, and that was a one-pointer for him. They inexplicably got demolished by Middlesbrough?
My boys at Crystal Palace.
Oh, right. Oh, that $5 is just flying out of my pocket. Yeah, I don't know what to say about this match other than Bournemouth.
Then you can use your final pass, Brandon.
Yeah, I will use my final pass. I mean, the only thing I'd want to talk about would be the Southampton defense and where art thou, Cedric? Virgil van Dijk is looking like an amazing pickup still.
Oh, totally. I know. I brought him in when he was briefly bad for 4 weeks, and the second I dropped him, he's been awesome again. Is life.
Yeah, but Bournemouth doesn't interest me in this match. All right, I'm taking a pass. That's my second pass. We're out of passes.
Man City Arsenal, very interesting match. Man City is at home. They're hosting Arsenal Football Club.
This is going to be for all the marbles, Josh.
I know. A true second versus third place derby this will be.
It could go any which way.
Totally. I mean, you could see Arsenal winning, much like Chelsea did a couple of weeks ago at the Etihad, but you could also see them just getting nervous, you know, the stage being too big, whatever, and kind of blowing this one. So
particularly if A1 Gabriel Paulista is in the center of defense.
Yeah. So let's. I don't want to draw any firm. I mean, we're talking about two different things here. There's the fantasy, and then there's the real game. And from a game standpoint, from a fantasy standpoint, I don't really know who I'd want to have in this game. I mean, I don't see a lot of, well, I mean, Arsenal could score, but I certainly wouldn't be captaining Sanchez or anybody. But I also wouldn't be dropping Walcott because I was so scared of this fixture.
No, I'm in total agreement. Who knows what's going to happen? You wouldn't want to double down on either of these teams, but you wouldn't want to bench either.
Yeah, exactly. So Spurs, Burnley.
God, another sweet fixture for Harry Kane and for Christian Eriksen, perhaps. But Dele Alli, where's he at? There's no temptation for you to go in for Dele?
The magic isn't really there right now, is it? I mean, you just watched Dele Alli play. Were you blown away by what you saw?
No. I mean, I wasn't blown away by. I mean, the one player that constantly blows me away for Spurs is Moussa Dembele. That guy is so freaking good, but he's just sort of good at dribbling around the midfield. He's not good at accumulating fantasy points. So yeah, again, I'm not recommending that anyone go out and get Moussa Dembele.
I mean, at least Eriksen's on like every free kick around the box. You know, that's worth something for sure.
Tom Heaton ain't going to let that in though.
Mm-mm.
Not going to happen. Harry Kane's going to get a PK parried in this game. Tom Heaton's going to.
This is like a 4-0 win for Spurs. brings us to our final fixture. Always a good match, always a tense match. Everton hosting Liverpool. God, who even knows with Liverpool at this point? I mean, you just don't know what this until Coutinho comes back. It feels like they're just treading water. Like just, they're just trying not to lose all the ground they've gained in the first, 13 weeks or whatever, before he went down. So I think that, this to me is like I'm going to get pretty like a 2-2 draw. I could see Lukaku scoring a goal. I could see Everton scoring a couple. They're obviously going to concede a couple.
I was going to say, I feel like Lukaku is really the most interesting FPL player in this matchup, weirdly.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Sadio Mane, if he hasn't departed. When does he take off? When does this plane depart?
Let's wait until our African Cup of Nations.
Yeah, we need to do a little more African Cup of Nations research. But yeah, Lukaku against, particularly if Karius is still in goal, Lukaku would probably score 40 goals. It'd be incredible.
Yeah. All right, our final notes on game week 17, clean sheet picks. I'm going to pick Bournemouth.
All right, and I'm splitting the baby between Tottenham and Manchester United. Even though United is away, it's West Brom, and I feel like they're going to be in full flow going into the weekend.
Okay, so you're picking Man United.
Yep.
I'm putting you in a corner.
That's fine.
Captain, I'm going to pick Diego Costa.
And as for much as I believe that Tom Heaton is going to save a penalty on Kane, I believe that Harry Kane is going to subsequently score 5 more goals. So I'm picking Harry Kane at home to Burnley.
Okay, I like it. Transfers, I think that a Chelsea defender is where I'm leaning for this game. I'm long overdue to pick one up, and I don't know. I don't even know if I'd have the money. I guess I'd have to move Firmino and... I got a lot to think about, Brandon. I see how game week 16 goes.
Chelsea defense is like, it's incredible. I feel like there are a ton of managers out there that have just kind of been skating by without Chelsea defensive coverage for most of the season. And it's finally getting to that point where, I mean, like I had in game week 15, I had a cumulative 3 points from my three players in the back line. I need somebody I can count on back there.
There's no cheap way in. I mean, I actually just thought about this now as we were talking, but it may actually make more sense for me just to go from Karius to Courtois and to just finally cut bait on Karius. And then I would have – he's the cheapest defender on that team. I mean, you wouldn't get any attacking points, but it might be worth it.
That was my plan before Mustafi got injured, and Mustafi getting injured was just the perfect excuse for me to turn him into a Chelsea defender. Had that not happened, I was going to turn De Gea into Courtois. I think that's a perfectly valid way into that.
Yeah, what is he at right now? Like,
I think he's 5'8".
Never rise. 5'8". Jeez.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
Give me a break, people. Oh, he's 5'7".
Oh, okay.
Five seven seems fine.
Okay, this is like me going into the doctor's office. Yeah, doctor. I'm definitely 6 foot tall. All right, cool. Let's put you on the scale. All right, it says here you're 5'11". My transfer is I think I'm probably going to turn Ibra into Harry Kane, depending on how these guys look going into the weekend. But
that makes sense. You know, home to Burnley.
Right.
All right, Brandon. I don't know how long that took us. I feel like we talked for like an hour before we started recording. So I have no this podcast could be an hour. It could be 3 hours. I really have no clue.
Could be 15 minutes.
It's getting dark outside.
It's getting dark. All right. So once again, we want to direct everyone to this new Patreon page, patreon.com/always cheating. We're going to post a link on our website, alwayscheating.com, and all over our social media. We really hope that you'll have fun participating and that you'll help us cover some of the cost of what it takes to put the podcast together. So we're looking forward to seeing how it goes. Plus, I'm really excited about these new leagues that we're starting as a result of the Patreon campaign. Yeah. The Suicide League is going to be super fun. The second half of the season league, for all of us who believe our FPL skills are actually better than what the first half of the season shows.
That's right.
It's a chance to start fresh.
Yeah. And if you win either one, you get to be on the podcast. So how do you like that?
Yeah, we'll welcome you onto the podcast, and you can tell us how much our advice has really been a detriment to your FPL team over the years.
Right. How much better off you would have been. Brandon, it's been a pleasure, and now let's sign off.
Okay, I'm signing off by reminding everyone to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Follow us on SoundCloud. We're on Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, FM. And Josh, you know where to follow us on social media.
We're at Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters, facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can also send us an email if you have any questions about any of the Patreon stuff that we're setting up. You can just send us an email or write to us on Twitter or Facebook. The email address is hailcheaters@gmail.com. You can also write to us directly through the website. And a lot of people have done that this year. And like everyone is so universally nice who writes to us. It's really it's really rewarding and feels good. So thank you for doing that. And once again, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/alwayscheating. And you have until December 30th to do that before game week 19 starts. So we won't be bothering you about this forever.
It's the December pledge drive.
That's right. That's right.
All right, Josh. Hail cheaters.
And Bacani forever.
Have mercy. See you next week.
See you next week.